This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Denton, what do you got from over the weekend?
We're talking about Paul Tyson. It was one of the most streamed fights ever. 68 million, I believe, is the number that Netflix said it peaked at. Granted, at least half of those 68 million were met with buffering. We were met with the spinning circle of death. Netflix could not handle the capacity of viewers that it got for this Paul Tyson thing. And then on top of that, the fight stunk. Mike Tyson got like two good punches in the first round and then basically stood there biting his glove for the remaining seven. It's almost like a 58-year-old shouldn't have been in the ring.
So, you know, because I ended up talking to you during this evening.
I was not
necessarily keen on watching this. I watched Maryland lose to Marquette. Which was going on simultaneously that the undercard was happening. And, you know, like with anything else, you just get caught up in the hype of something, especially the day of or maybe the day before. And I'm at home. And, you know, we don't have long days in this business, but we had the late night before with Washington, Philadelphia, and we had a long Friday, you know, and I'm sitting there going, I was going to go to the Maryland game. I decided I just wasn't going to fight the traffic to go out there, and I would sit and watch Maryland and Marquette, and then why not? Let's see what Tyson looks like at 58 years old. First of all, real quickly, Maryland's Derek Queen, 5-star freshman, legit. He's going to be really good. He's also a one-and-doneer. I don't think there's any question about that after watching him here against a good opponent. It was a great basketball game for November. I don't know what it means. You never can tell in November. As Coach Thompson once reminded me very emphatically in the bullpen one day. I loved the way he played. I loved the way Gillespie played. Maryland's going to be they're a better team than they were last year. Now, we move on to this fight. I was watching some of the prelims. First of all, the prelim between the two women it's one of the most vicious fights I've ever seen. I mean, in terms of just grotesque viciousness, no defense, just wailing on each other, a cut that was about as vile as you will ever see on any fighter, male, female, otherwise. I don't know how they let her fight. That was incredible. What were the names of the fighters again? Do you know? You don't know.
I do not know. It was a great fight, okay. Though. I mean, I thought the wrong person won. Katie Taylor, I believe, is the name of the girl that won.
She's the Irish girl who's the champion, right?
Yeah, she's the Irish girl, but she won despite a point deduction and then throwing
controversial win.
Like 100 less punches or landing. Right. Like the girl that lost was dominating in terms of punches thrown.
Controversial win, controversial. I wasn't sitting there throughout the fight. I caught the last like three or four rounds, so I didn't know what had happened in the first whatever rounds. But Amanda Serrano was the one that literally had a cut over her right eye that was so deep. I don't know how that fight goes on. I don't know how they stop. They don't stop the fight. They must have thought that it was not obstructing her vision. That one, you're going to need one hell of a plastic surgeon for. That's for sure. So 65 million streams. They clearly were not prepared for this. Because most of you know, if you were trying to watch it, once we got post that fight with the two women, it started to buffer. It started to, you know,
It started way before for me.
Yeah, no, you're right. It started before that. That's right. But for whatever reason, it finally locked in for me. And then I just kept it there. I didn't want to change the station. I was locked in after that fight. And then it started to buffer over and over again. And then it came back, but it was really blurry. And it was a terrible picture. Then it got good. And then they were about to announce them, and it buffered again. And I bailed. I just said, enough. I'm not interested in it. I'll be able to watch it on YouTube. I'll be able to see the highlights. It was too frustrating to deal
highlights?
With. Yeah, whatever. There weren't any highlights. But here's the issue. They have a doubleheader on Christmas Day of NFL football. They better get this figured out. And the NFL better have a backup plan. They better have a second distribution opportunity for if Netflix can't handle the Christmas Day volume for Chiefs Steelers and Ravens Texans. Right?
Yeah, because they're going to get in the neighborhood, maybe not quite 60 million, but they're going to get in the neighborhood of that number in terms of people watching it. Like that, historically, we see that middle game on Thanksgiving always does like 42 million.
Is that
viewers.
What it is?
That's generally what it is. I think Washington, when they played Dallas with the Sam Howell thing, despite the fact it was a blowout, was in the neighborhood of 42 million. That's going to be the only game, though, the only two games and the only place to watch the games, though, on Christmas. You're charging an arm, a leg, and another arm and leg. I mean, they're basically charging Super Bowl prices to advertisers for commercials because you're not going to be changing the channel. You're locked into the Netflix app. If they can't handle, if you get buffering during the NFL season, look, it was a joke on Friday because everyone knew that fight was a little bit of a goof. It ain't going to be a joke if you're robbing us of NFL football on Christmas. You're going to have some real unhappy people.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I would think that the NFL would be concerned about this right now. I mean, they're certainly not concerned with what Netflix paid them for these two games, but they have to, you know, they've got to be concerned that you're going to end up having fans really unhappy. And that, by the way, you got to get this right. This is, they've done a good job with Amazon. They've done an excellent job with Amazon. But if Netflix can't handle this, you can't do that on a holiday. Like you said, you're going to have 40, 50 million people trying to watch this. And I would think they'd have to set up something else as a way of distributing it in the event Netflix has issues.
Do you remember the story?
Where Netflix does a deal with, you know, I don't know, ABC. We get the college football. No, Christmas Day. They do something with Fox or CBS. It's a Netflix, you know, put together event, but they've got to have a way to distribute it through another place if they can't handle it.
Do you remember that story that I had when this news initially broke? It was like a couple days after, maybe a week after.
But
the story was that Netflix, after they got the deal, they were then calling around to other companies to ask for help because they did not have infrastructure for it. And everyone else was like, no, we're not going to lend you people because you're taking games away from us. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a rough Christmas Day. I think they had the money for it. I don't think they had this thing planned out at all.
$150 million is what they paid, but you totally reminded me because we had John Orand on the show, and John talked about how they had to reach out to all of these, you know, CBS and Fox and NBC, et cetera, and it wasn't going to be easy because of how many games those guys were getting ready for. You know, they've just come from one Sunday, Monday night, they're going to wherever they're headed next, so... they're going to have to figure this thing out. I don't know if people have been discussing this. I would assume that they have been. But you can't you can screw people on Paul Tyson. You can't mess around with the NFL.
By the way, Paul Tyson kind of, whatever life that boxing still had, which was not much, it basically killed it. I feel terrible because it got so much, like, that night should have been great for the sport to get good fights on. And, like, Jake Paul can draw money. There's no doubt about that. He's a hell of a promoter. The problem is he's not a great boxer, and he's facing guys he's not going to lose to. He fought one real boxer, and he lost. You can fight UFC guys, old UFC guys, Nate Diaz, whoever, and that's going to draw money, which is great. But if you're actually trying to move the sport forward, this dude's going to have to start fighting real guys that actually stand a chance against him and not dudes that are 30 years his senior.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really follow Jake Paul, you know, in his career.
You're not missing much.
But so what did I? So did Tyson just basically give up after a round or two?
So he couldn't move.
Did it look like it was complete? Like everything I read was that Jake Paul clearly didn't want to hurt him.
It kind of looked like that. It looked like Mike Tyson made a concerted effort as to not get knocked out. Right. Like he's just not going to move. He wasn't being aggressive. He wasn't taking, because there were some open. I mean, Jake Paul. Like, Mike Tyson was doing this thing where he was biting his glove, which I didn't grow up watching Tyson because his prime was a little before I was born, but I've gone back and watched some of his stuff, and apparently that's like a tick that he's had over the course of his career, but it's also a good way to make sure your hands stay up if you're literally holding them there with your mouth. Jake Paul does not keep his hands up. So there was plenty of opportunities, if Mike Tyson really wanted to get in, be aggressive, and swing on him, but he understood that Jake Paul keeps his hands down because he's setting up his overhand right, which would effectively, at 58 years old, if it connected with Mike Tyson, as much as I don't think Jake Paul is the best boxer in the world, it was going to knock his lights out. You're not taking too many of those unprotected. So it was kind of like he was avoiding that, and because of that, he wasn't being aggressive. I think the number of punches he landed was like 20 in 8 rounds. It was just so boring. After the third round, you knew. I was like, this is not going to end well at all. They're just going to sit there, and then Jake Paul was like bowing to him with 30 seconds left in the final round, which was respectful but also disrespectful.
They better figure it out. You know, it's one thing for that to have happened on Friday night. Chiefs Steelers could be a massive game. Ravens Texans could be. You do not mess with people's NFL on holidays. Don't they better be prepared, or they better have an opportunity to send it somewhere else in the event that they can't handle the volume. Because it was too frustrating. I mean, I called you after I saw social media lighting up because I was like, this is absurd. This doesn't make any sense. Ben Standing next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.